Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. A very happy Friday. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on the 29th of August, almost the end of the summer holidays. Coming up, the boss of P&O Ferries is to leave the company. An 11-year-old girl having chemo for a brain tumour is up for a top award. And hear from the Gravesend woman celebrating a very big birthday. But first today, drivers have been facing long delays on a number of main roads in Kent following a series of crashes. The most serious happened on the M20 in the early hours of this morning. Lucy joins me now with all of the details. Lucy, what do we know about what happened?
Well, the collision happened on the London-bound carriageway between junctions 9 for Ashford and 8 for Maidstone services at around 3 this morning. Police have told us a car and a lorry were involved in the collision, and at the time of recording today's podcast, the motorway was still closed. Along with police, fire crews and highways officers were also called to the scene. While no serious injuries have been reported, the vehicles needed to be recovered. Debris and an oil spillage also needed to be cleared from the road. While all this was going on, a diversion was put in place, with drivers told to leave the M20 at Junction 9 and follow the A20 instead.
And that's not the only crash that's happened today.
No, it's been a really busy one on the roads. There was also a collision on the A2 London bound between Henhurst Road Junction and A227 Rutham Road Junction. Another crash happened on the M2 London bound between Junction 5 for Sittingbourne and 4 for Gillingham. And there was also a vehicle fire on the A249 near Detling opposite the Kent Showground.
And all of this, Lucy, has happened during some pretty bad weather.
That's right. We don't know if it's connected, but a yellow weather warning has been in force across Kent, and that brought pretty torrential rain. Forecasters had earlier warned of potential flooding and hazardous travel conditions. The yellow alert came into force at 10 last night and was due to last 14 hours. Up to 20 millimetres of rain in less than an hour was possible in places, with as much as 70 millimetres expected in a few hours.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. Don't forget you can hear regular travel updates over on our sister radio station KMFM. Plus, you can get the very latest travel news by heading to the travel pages of Kent Online, where that's updated every 60 seconds.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a baby's been found dead after police were called to a home on Sheppey. An investigation was launched following the discovery near Heron Drive in Minster 12 days ago. The results of a post-mortem were inconclusive. Officers say the death is not being treated as suspicious. A man who caused the death of a teenager in a crash near Broadstairs has been jailed for 7 years. Ethan Entwistle was a passenger in the car when it careered into a tree in Dumpton Park Drive in October 2023. A court heard Colby Hammond, who's 20 and from Westwood Road in the town, had been speeding and was over the legal alcohol limit. An update now on our top story in yesterday's episode, and a woman's been treated for stab wounds after police and paramedics were called to a car park in Sittingbourne. The multi-story in East Street was cordoned off after it happened on Wednesday night. A 60-year-old woman from the local area has been arrested. Now, a Tunbridge Wells mum has been told she has just weeks to live after a 10-year battle with cancer. Hélène Menardi was initially diagnosed with breast cancer at the end of 2015, and despite intensive treatment, it's now spread to other parts of her body. The 41-year-old has a son and two stepdaughters, but recently moved into a hospice as she's unable to walk and suffers from short-term memory loss. Her family friend has set up a fundraising page to try and help out. Our reporter Charlotte Phillips has been speaking to Hélène's husband, Marcus Bird.
So we met on Tinder, which was quite an odd thing for both of us as 30-year-olds. But as single parents, there's not really a lot of options to meet anyone. And about a week after we met, she said she found a lump on her breast. And within a few weeks, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she actually gave me, she said to me, you know, you've been through a lot with your kids. I'm more than happy. I'm not going to hold a grudge if you decide to, you know, if we go separate ways, because this is going to be a lot for you to deal with. And I thought, you know, if she didn't have breast cancer, then there's no reason for me to not be with her. And she does have breast cancer, and there's no reason for me to not be with her. So, I said, you know, there's, I thought it was very nice of her, but I thought there was no way that we'd break up for anything, actually. So she was diagnosed with breast cancer, had a double mastectomy, a bilateral mastectomy in the January, had chemotherapy and targeted radiotherapy. And shortly after that, they found out that the cancer had spread to her lungs. So she had targeted radiotherapy on her lungs. She's been on constant treatment for almost 10 years, with slight breaks here and there for, you know, a few weeks at a time. And then 5 years ago, we got back from a holiday to her sister's in Jersey. And in the night, she had a seizure. So that was in May 2020. She had a seizure in the middle of the night, and I called an ambulance, and I couldn't go to hospital with her because it was just after COVID or around COVID, and they found out that the cancer had spread to her brain.
And the fundraiser that your friend set up, it's got a goal of 7,500, is that correct?
Yeah, it changes. I think she set a higher goal based on, you know, we've got quite a high cost for living expenses, and so she set a goal of about 3 months of rent and household bills. I went back and forth with her about how much is a appropriate amount, and I told her not to do it initially. I spoke to other friends and said I don't think we should do it, but maybe we need to. And I spoke to my wife about it, and it's very humbling to do it. But what amount do you put on there? Because I'm a freelance director and editor, and I keep getting offered work, but I just can't take it at the moment. And so we've got a lot of outgoings and no income.
He's described his wife as the most courageous person he's ever known. You can find a link to their fundraising page within the story today on the website.
Kent Online reports.
It's been announced the boss of P&O Ferries is leaving the company. Peter Hebblethwaite has been in charge of the firm, which runs services between Dover and Calais, for the last 4 years. Sky City editor Mark Kleinman says it hasn't always been an easy ride.
He became one of Britain's most notorious corporate figures back in 2022 when he sacked about 800 seafarers at P&O Ferries and immediately rehired cheaper agency staff. Now, that became a national scandal.
A statement says he wants to dedicate more time to family matters. A dog has died after a fire broke out at a house in Dartford. Crews were called to tackle the blaze, which started in the living room of a home on Weardale Avenue yesterday afternoon. One person was checked over by paramedics for the effects of breathing in smoke. A prolific young offender has been jailed after ransacking a family home during a burglary in Folkestone. Tyler Jackson, who used to live on Freeman's Way in Deal and the High Street in Dover, stole two bracelets worth £3,000 in Linksway in July. The 21-year-old had recently been spared prison despite committing 40 offences, but he's now been locked up for just under 2 years. A Folkestone man whose mum and stepdad have been detained in Iran says they've been suddenly whisked into a courtroom to face charges of spying. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were arrested in January while on a motorbike tour of the world. Their son Joe Bennett is concerned they won't get a fair trial. In a video on Instagram earlier this week, he says securing their safety is a really tough fight.
I just want to share a bit of reflection because, you know, some days I feel like I'm slaying the dragon. Other days it feels like the dragon's slaying me. But isn't that just life? You know, you win some, you lose some. But the point is you keep going. And that's what this campaign is about. It's what life's about, to show up every single day. And I'll continue to do so until my mum and Craig are home.
Well, they've requested a meeting with Foreign Secretary David Lammy. A spokesperson for the Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office has said, "We are deeply concerned by reports that two British nationals have been charged with espionage in Iran. We continue to raise this case directly with the Iranian authorities. We're providing them with consular assistance and remain in close contact with their family members."
Kent Online reports.
Two dogs have died after reportedly ingesting rat poison at a park Park near Gravesend. Shelley and Coco became unwell around a week after visiting Jeskin's community woodland. Their owner says she's devastated. Forestry England, who run the site, say they don't use rat poison anywhere and they've had no reports of concerns from visitors. A McDonald's in Aylesford has been forced to close its indoor seating overnight because of antisocial behaviour. There have been a number of issues at the Hermitage Lane site, leading to concerns about staff safety. Bosses say they're working with police on a long-term solution. The drive-through and delivery services will remain open. Now, an 11-year-old girl from Tunbridge Wells, who's raised thousands of pounds during her treatment for a brain tumour, has been nominated for a top award. Kirsty Waugh started experiencing symptoms in September last year. Her eyesight got worse and she also had memory loss and fatigue. Well, tests revealed a benign tumour, which can't be removed because of where it is. So she started a 70-week course of chemotherapy. During her treatment, Kirsty set out to make crochet bunting triangles to brighten up the hospital room for other children. She then started raising money for Children with Cancer UK and has now been nominated for a Just Giving Award. Lucy's been chatting to Kirsty.
Last summer, my mum and dad's friends taught me and my sister how to crochet because we were very interested in sort of like making our own things. And I kind of took it away from that and I've really enjoyed just sort of having that creativity and like being able to make whatever I want to make.
And what was the process of having all those chemotherapy sessions like, and how are you doing now in terms of recovery?
Well, how I was first diagnosed is last September I started to lose my eyesight and memory, so I really couldn't see many of my stitches in crochet and I couldn't see the board at school, and then that's how I was diagnosed. And then with my chemo, the hope is to either make him shrink or just make sure I've made my tumour Terry. And the objective is just to stop him growing. And thankfully, my eyesight and memory have returned from my chemo and it's going well. I've got two really lovely nurses and that's really nice.
70 sessions is an awful lot. I mean, are you still ongoing with those or have you finished them for now?
So I am at 37 chemos. I had my 37th yesterday and I should be finishing about August, May next year. So I think we sort of accepted that it is a long time, but we'll sort of treat it as it goes and just like see where we are in the moment.
Oh, it's a really good attitude to have. And I'm sure you're such an inspiration to other people and other children going through this. And is that the hope with the bunting triangles you're doing as well, to kind of put them up and hopefully cheer people up a little bit?
Yeah, so I'm going to hang them up at a cafe and then at my hospital where I have my treatment once I've finished. And my hope is just, I've met loads of other children having treatment similar and different to mine, and it's just really lovely to try to put a smile on their face when it's so colourful, like to, you know, be that sort of bright.
Yeah, absolutely, I'm sure it will. What's the sort of treatment been like for you in terms of, are you still able to go to school and has it kind of affected you in any other way?
Yeah, well, I get aches and pains and I get a bit tired and just a bit rough after, but I do still try to go to school with as much as possible. And yeah, I'm starting secondary school and I just try, apart from my appointments and stuff, I usually am most of the time. I've turned this into a positive and I just really want to show other people that you can turn this sort of like down moment into a positive as well, and that it doesn't always have to be a really low point in your life.
Such an inspiration. Well, the winners of the award are chosen by the public with a vote closing on Sunday. Just search for Just Giving Awards 2025 for all of the details. A children's play centre in Ashford say they've been hung out to dry ahead of a shopping centre demolition. Little Land opened in Parkmell in 2023, but Ashford Borough Council have told businesses to leave by January and it's set to become a residential development. The authority has offered £10,000 to help traders with relocation, but say Little Land's new site is outside the eligible boundary. A popular restaurant in Ashford could be flattened to make way for new homes. The owner of the Kennington Carvery has submitted plans to demolish the building and replace it with four properties. It's not known if the eatery, which opened in the former ex-servicemen's club in 2012, will move moved to another part of the town. And finally, a woman from Gravesend has celebrated her 105th birthday and revealed her secrets to a long life. Great-grandmother Nonna Donna was born in August 1920, living through the Second World War. She's been chatting to reporter Cara Simmons.
My secret, I suppose, is mental exercise and physical exercise. And I still here even go to the Keep Fit class.
Oh, wow.
It's not a keep up, it's just arms, yeah, and feet and legs. But I go active anyway, because it just gets me out.
What would you say to the new generation of young ladies? What advice would you give them?
The new generation, well, leaves me bewildered.
Does it?
Absolutely bewildered. Well, when I think of my upbringing and today's upbringing, mm-hmm, I'm just horrified. And of course, the world situation is not really a time for bringing children into the world, mm-hmm, is it? I'm not saying happy with the new generation. For a start, if it's anything I loathe, it's tattoos. And the other thing that annoys me greatly is men with beards.
Really?
I mean, do you realise how old they look? It looks to me like on the television is I'm watching Edwardians. Yeah.
Many, many happy returns to Nonna. You can read more about her incredible life within today's story at Kent Online.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it's a trip north for Gillingham in League Two this weekend. They're travelling to take on newly promoted Oldham Athletic. The Gills are still unbeaten in the league so far this season and have actually gone 17 games without a defeat since Gareth Ainsworth took over as manager. So let's hear from the boss as he looks ahead to the match.
Tough challenge. Mickey Mellon obviously has been around the leagues, knows his way out of this league. Some great results with teams in this league and highly respected manager in the AFL. He's going to have his team up for this one, definitely. You know, they've had a slow start, should we say, but they did magnificent to get to League Two from the position they were last year, you know. He got them up for the playoffs, got them through the playoffs, and here they are, you know. So we're not taking anything for granted. We're not looking at the league table and thinking, oh, this the league table's five games. There's nothing at all, really, you can tell out of that now. And, if we'd have been at the other end of the table, I'd be saying to people, work, you know, wait and patience, I'm getting this together. And we've got to respect that that's what Oldham might be doing, you know. They've had some changes of personnel. And I'm sure Mickey will start getting results because, I'd say, good manager. I've managed against him a few times and all kinds of, opponents come up against. But, you know, we're going up there. We'll travel early tomorrow and hopefully get up there in a reasonable time. And we need to be our best in every single game this season. I've told the boys, you know, they need to be on it. We can't rest on any laurels. I don't think we've done anything special so far. We really want to get stuck into Oldham. And then Bromley and then, you know, whatever comes next, we've got to keep doing it game by game, ticking them off. But now really looking forward to going up there, seeing Mickey. I'm being back at Oldham because, you know, it's northwest. It's where I grew up, and I remember playing youth team games at Boundary Park, and you know, one of the Premier League founders. So it's a special club for me. So I want to go up there and pay it huge respect by being our absolute best.
Next up, we can hear from Robbie McKenzie, who's just celebrated making his 200th appearance for the Gills. He's been chatting to Phil from the club's media team.
Obviously, we've made a good start to the season, but again, it's just a start. We need to keep it going and go up there, and it's going to be a tough place to go, but we'll go up there with our game plan and try and implement it.
I know every player, every manager says it's all about the next game, don't look too far ahead. How difficult psychologically is it just to focus on that one game when you've been in such good form?
I find it quite easy to focus on the next game because that's the only one you can really affect. That's literally the only thing that matters is the next game. The ones that have gone, and the ones after them, the game, they will get to them once we've crossed that hurdle.
You've played a number of positions since you've been at the club. I don't suppose you would have thought before the first game of the season you'd be playing centre-back anytime soon because we had four centre-halves, but with those injured, you slotted back in. but you just seem to take it in your stride.
No, look, I've played there before. I've played there quite a bit growing up, so I know how to play it. And yeah, if it means helping the team, then that's fine by me.
A couple of good results lately. We're scoring goals, keeping clean sheets here and there. Just seems to be a real good harmony and togetherness in this group right now.
Yeah, there's a really good positive vibe going on at the minute, and hopefully we can continue that and stride on over the season, not just make it a quick start and tail off. Let's keep it for the full season.
How important is it not to let that momentum drop? Because sometimes when you lose it, it's very difficult to get it back.
Yeah, exactly. I think we just need to stay level-headed about it all and just, again, take each game as it comes and cross each bridge when we get to it.
Kick-off tomorrow is at 3. We'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online. Plus, we'll have reaction to the result in full in Monday's episode of the podcast. Elsewhere, former Aylesford Bulls player Jess Breach has kept her place in the England side for their next match at the Women's Rugby World Cup. A total of 13 changes have been made for the game against Samoa this weekend. On to cricket, and former Kent captain Sam Northeast is rejoining the county. The 35-year-old has signed a 2-year contract with the option for a third season. He'd been in talks with Glamorgan about extending his stay there and was also wanted by several other clubs. And Kent sprinter Dina Asher-Smith has come second in the 200 metres at the Diamond League final in Zurich. She was beaten by Brittany Brown from the US. Dina also finished fourth in the 100 metres as she continues to prepare for next month's World Athletics Championships. But that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker. Hope you have a fantastic weekend, and we'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.